Support for WMFE comes from Orlando Science Center, offering four floors of wonder and discovery for families and curious minds of all ages, with exhibits, movies, and live shows that promote learning new skills, exploring fresh ideas, and cultivating a better understanding of the world around us. Tickets and more at osc.org.
Hey, howdy, space nerds. As always, thanks for your support. This podcast is fueled by you, and you can help top off our tanks by checking out some of our merchandise. Pick up your very own Are We There Yet mission patch. You can get it at wmfe.org/patch. And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast so we can get more people exploring space exploration. All right, on to the show. From the studios at WMFE in Orlando, Florida, this is the Space Exploration Podcast that asks the question, Are We There Yet? Hi, I'm Brendan Byrne. I'm sure you've seen the headline this week, Water on Mars. It's a huge discovery on the red planet, but what does it mean for the future of exploration of Mars? A study published this week in Science unveiled the findings that there could be an underground body of water at one of the poles. The findings are tantalizing to scientists who are searching for signs of life on the red planet or to use as a resource to create fuel for future human explorers. To break down the news, we're joined by Dan Batchelador. He's the head of physics at Florida Tech. Dan, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
So, Dan, walk us through this discovery. What did scientists actually find?
So we have to be careful when we hear sensational stories like this. Now, what has actually been found is a signal consistent with the presence of a subsurface body of water on Mars. Now, we've long thought that Mars has had water in the past, and one of the big questions is, where has the water gone? And the prominent thinking is that it's gone below the ground. And so we have been expecting there to be subsurface water for decades. And so now we have some evidence to support this. And the technique that was used is known as ground penetrating radar. You can actually change the properties of a radar signal based on the material that radar signal is moving through. And so this is a well-known technique in geophysics to use ground penetrating radar to look for subsurface features. So in this case, there's a ground penetrating radar on a European satellite, the Mars Express spacecraft. And so now we've got some evidence that is consistent with there being a subsurface, about a mile below the surface, body of water. And it's near the South Pole. So that's interesting in itself.
Mm-hmm. Why is that interesting?
Well, when we think about colonization of Mars, we are looking at several different options for where to place a colony. There are many trades, and one of the trades is where are the resources going to be on Mars? And in terms of the orbital dynamics of landing on a planet, it's much easier to land near the equator. Mm-hmm. And so if we're finding resources away from the equator, we may need to rethink how we are going to get to Mars in the first place, because if it means that we need to have a different type of orbit and we need to land somewhere away from the equator, that actually will change a lot of the mission parameters. It means you'll have a different amount of delta V to mm-hmm. shed as you get towards the surface, and that could fundamentally change the mission design. And so you can look at these types of things with the missions that have already been to the surface of Mars. So the Curiosity rover, which is an incredibly successful NASA mission. This is the rover that is fairly big. It's the size of a small car. And it's landed near the equator. It's a large payload landed near the equator. But the Phoenix mission is a much smaller mission, but it landed near the Martian poles. And it was there. The Phoenix mission is the one that actually scraped down and saw some white material that then evaporated over the course of several hours or days. And so, you can actually start to see if you are looking for resources like water, if they are more towards the poles, that could really make you rethink your missions to Mars in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a step back and so with these findings, there's evidence that there could be water under the surface there. Can you give us a sense of the scale and what this this body of water would look like, what it would be made of?
Well, we don't know precisely what it looks like. We can make analogies with similar features that we have here on Earth. So it's not like it's a lake sitting on the surface of Mars. It is below the surface, and so it really is water that is water that's within rock, if you see what I mean. It's not like a swimming pool or anything buried a mile under the ground, we have to be careful with how we describe this. So we couldn't, for example, skip stones across the surface of this lake. It's a mile underground, and it's actually a set of materials that are known as water bearing. So, yeah, it's not like a big tank of water underground. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful with that. So it would look like if you've ever been into a deep mine on Earth, and kind of seen the rocks on the walls of those mines are slightly wet. That's the type of feature that we've got that signal that's consistent with. So, yeah, it's much more like what you would see at the bottom of an incredibly deep mine here on Earth. Yeah, but
gotcha.
It's not something you would go swimming in.
So, unfortunately for our listener who asked a question about skipping a rock on this thing, you couldn't do that.
No. Actually, probably the best place in the solar system to go skip rocks on the surface of lakes is Titan.
So water kind of leads to the question of, could there be signs of life, right? Water is essential for what we know as what would harbor life. I mean, does this kind of get us any closer to answering the question of was there life on Mars or is there life on Mars?
Well, this is always the big question that has the most interest. And the current thinking is that for relatively complex molecules to form, the type of long chain molecules that go on to form amino acids and things like that, you do need some kind of liquid, and we know that happens in water. And so with these little pockets of water-bearing materials, yes, that could be an environment where life has either arisen or been able to survive. We have absolutely no idea whether that is currently the case on Mars, and it will be incredibly difficult to find out. It's hard enough building a one mile deep mine on Earth, let alone doing that on Mars, and we would be drilling through rock on Mars. So this would be very different to the type of mission to Jupiter's moon Europa, where you would be able to kind of melt your way through the ice there to get to the subsurface ocean. In this case, to get down to that water, you would have to have a full blown mining expedition to Mars, and that's something that would be very challenging to do robotically. And so, yes, knowing that there are water-bearing materials, knowing that there is a signal that is consistent with that type of material, does actually give us, another tantalizing look at whether or not there could be life elsewhere outside of the Earth's biosphere. It may well be Mars. It could be remnants of previous life, or it could actually be something new. So, yeah, very exciting.
With this discovery, does this kind of lead scientists and researchers to kind of want to look elsewhere using these same techniques on the surface of Mars, or is this kind of the only place where you think we'll be able to find water?
Well, as with everything in science, you are limited by your instrumentation. You're limited by what you are able to detect. Now, the Mars Express spacecraft will have been doing this type of data survey across the whole planet. And so it may simply be fortuitous that this body of water is in at the right depth to be detectable, is the right size to be detectable. If there was a very small pocket, tens of meters wide, we wouldn't have been, this instrument would have been able to detect it. If it was deeper, this instrument wouldn't have been able to detect it. So it's not going to be the case necessarily that this is the only pocket of water-bearing material, below the surface of Mars, but it's definitely an area where we've got a signal consistent with that, brought back by an instrument that was capable of detecting it. So it doesn't rule out there being other water-bearing materials below the surface of Mars at all. In fact, it actually makes it more likely.
I've got a question from one of our listeners here. Eric asked, does this encourage further exploration by a rover or something similar in the area? And I think you kind of touched on this question before, but I mean, is this the discovery that launches 1,000 rovers to the surface of Mars to go and find water? Or is this something that is going to go step by step and continue with our exploration efforts?
Yeah, this is just another step forward in our ongoing exploration of the red planet. It's not going to have a fundamental impact on the type and number of rovers that will be sent to that planet. What is encouraging now is that we are currently experienced enough in space exploration that every time we have the opportunity to send something to Mars, we will be sending something to Mars. And so this opportunity comes up every 2 years and 2 months or so, every synodic period. That's where the orbital alignments of the planets are favorable for sending spacecraft between the two planets. And so from here on out into the future, humans will be sending stuff to Mars very regularly, every 2 years or so. And we can see that in 2020, we'll be having, there's another mission coming up in 2020, we hope. And it's not only NASA, the European Space Agencies, and even the Indian Space Agency, that they're all now players in the exploration of Mars using rovers or orbiting spacecraft. And so this discovery itself is unlikely to provoke a massive boost in the number of rovers, in particular because getting to this water is going to be a huge challenge, not necessarily something that would be the best way of actually recovering liquid water on the surface of Mars for scientific purposes or for survival purposes. Being a mile underground is it's going to keep it out of reach for an incredibly long time. And there's likely other areas of Mars where you're going to be able to get water a bit more easily. And so, on the one hand, this discovery isn't going to increase the number of rovers. But on the other hand, it's important to realize that from here on out, our species is going to be sending stuff to the red planet, more and more complex rovers. And, hopefully, in the next couple of synodic cycles, we're going to start establishing the equipment on the surface to lead to the human colonization of Mars itself.
Now, I mean, this story kind of grabbed the headlines this week. I mean, what does that mean for, public support of these science missions and, just getting more people involved in finding out what scientists are doing on the red planet? It's going to be a good thing, right?
Yes, these types of discoveries are always excellent for re-engaging and keeping engaged the public and keeping up their enthusiasm for science and encouraging the next generation of scientists and engineers into these types of careers that really do help propel forward our technological capabilities that improves the quality of life across the whole planet. And so, I think NASA is very slick in the way that it delivers good content in a regular way, and then this discovery itself has been reported in Science, a very high profile popular magazine that is peer reviewed and well respected within the scientific community, and it's nice to see that it's a good reminder that NASA aren't the only players on Mars and that the Europeans are there as well. Still yet to have that successful mission to actually land on the surface, controlled descents onto the surface, but they're going to be getting there. NASA's very good at controlled descents onto the surface. They've done it several times now successfully. But and I think the timing is also nice because we have the opposition of Mars actually happening today, Friday, July 27th. Mars is actually going to be trailing the moon on the sky tonight. If you're lucky enough to have a clear enough sky, you'll be able to see Mars several degrees to the east of the moon. And it's actually only at a distance of 58 million kilometers. So that's about a third of the way to the sun.
What about the that dust storm that's kind of encapsulated the planet? Is that going to make it a little more difficult to see some surface features that astronomers were excited to see with the Mars opposition?
Well, dust storms are a regular feature on Mars, and it's important to realize that these are fairly mild weather events because the density of the atmosphere and the pressure of the atmosphere is incredibly low. And so I'm afraid that opening scene in the very popular movie The Martian is using a little bit of Hollywood license there to overstate the problems that would be caused by storms on the surface of Mars. But in terms of being able to see the surface in the visible, yes, the dust is going to kind of smooth out the planet, make it difficult to see surface features where there are these kind of planet-wide dust storms. But you still might be able to make out one of the ice caps. I think it's the southern pole that's pointing towards us right now. You may be able to make out some white features towards the pole where it's less likely to be covered in dust. But these dust storms are fairly regular. It's another scientific piece of scientific interest for us to be able to witness these events.
Well, lots of Mars news this week. Very exciting for folks interested in Mars and planetary sciences. Dan Bachelador is the head of physics at Florida Tech. Dan, thanks so much for breaking down the news.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
Support for Are We There Yet comes from our listeners. Our theme music was composed by Kevin McLeod. You can find more space news online at wmfe.org/space. What do you want to hear on this podcast? Help shape the next show. Send me a story, idea, or a question. Email me at arewethereyet@wmfe.org. Or start a conversation with us on Twitter. The show is at @AWTYMars. Are We There Yet Mars? Get it? And I'm @SpaceBrendan. Until next time, I'm Brendan Byrne. Thanks for listening.